interesting thing that Jesus starts with in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or mammon, right? Notice the beginning, God and money. I give you a clue. A lot of our anxieties comes from money. Okay? Now, so Jesus has given us a little pre-introduction to anxiety. So let's keep reading. Therefore, I say to you, says Jesus, do not worry or do not be anxious about your life. For what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? There's a secret there. There's a clue there. Life is bigger than food and things we worry about. Amen? Look at the birds of the air. He's trying to convince us. He didn't just say, don't worry and move on. He's trying to tell us, gives us example. Look at this. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow or reap, nor gather into barns, and yet they live. No, it's not there, but I'm just adding. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So listen to this. Those birds that are flying, pooping on your car, they're important to God, but you are more important to God. You're more value. God is establishing, Jesus is establishing that people are bigger, greater value. Amen. Verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit, 1 inch to your stature? You can get shorter probably by worrying. You're not going to get taller by worrying. If so, then the people who have anxieties and worries would be so tall. Taller than Alvin over there. Okay. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies. Oh, lilies now. Lilies are beautiful. We were at this camp site in Minnesota, and they have these beautiful lilies, yellow, and they have white lilies. They smell so good. Remember that, guys? Young people, we went there. So I can identify with lilies, but if you live in South Dakota, you probably don't identify with lilies because we don't have any lilies in our lakes. Our lakes are probably too dirty. Okay, so consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them, one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, anxiety has to do with what? Little faith. Fear has to do with what? Little faith. And Christ is trying to build our faith. Okay? Oh, you a little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. This is the key verse. This is a verse. If you're not going to focus on what you need, what should you focus on? Right? What should you do? Like, if you don't focus on money anymore, if you don't focus on clothes and food, what should you focus on? And here's the key verse. But seek first, read it with me. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Amen. Thank you for team anxiety. What is anxiety? Anxiety is a long-lasting worry about non-specific life event. Anxiety is usually unrealistic or out of proportion worry. Worrying and not knowing why. Have anybody here ever experienced anxiety? I think all of us have. All of us have. Mild or severe. We've all experienced anxiety. People who experience anxiety often feel afraid and worried about health, money, family, work, school, making wrong decisions. Anxiety sufferers expect failure and disaster at every point of their life. Anxiety is a branch of this gigantic tree called fear. So anxiety is not a tree. It's a branch of a tree that's called fear. Let me give you another explanation. Anxiety is a tent in a camp of fear. I asked their graphic designer to put together a design of where anxiety falls. And look at this. If that big circle, black circle, is fear, then anxiety is one of its branches or one of its tents. Anxiety, stress, or worry. Okay? So a lot of times anxiety and fear are interchangeable. All right? There's a difference, however, if you want to technically speak, between fear and anxiety. Fear, what is fear? Is our body's response to real danger. So let's say you're walking down a dark alley, in a dark alley at night, and somebody runs to you with a knife and holds that knife in your back. Well, that would be real fear for your life. However, let's say you're walking down the street in a regular day, and there's no threat, but you feel like somebody's going to run up to you and put a knife to your throat. Well, that's anxiety. So anxiety is response to perceived or made-up threat. Anxiety is a response to made-up or perceived threat. You know what anxiety is? God gave me this one. Anxiety is your soul's meditation on negativity. Anxiety is your soul's meditation on negativity. What does Bible say to meditate on? What is good? On the Word of God. See, if you're not meditating on what God says to meditate on, you will meditate on negativity and fear. That's what anxiety is. We're talking about mild anxiety. You know that we live in the safest, richest country or society that history has ever had. We live in the most safest compared to what people used to live. People used to live in dumps. People, even today, in third world countries, live in such conditions. But the thing is that although we live in the safest, richest nation in the world, we're just as anxious and stressed out and fearful as people who live with constant threat of disease, famine, lack of war, and different things. Why is it? Don't we feel more secure? We don't have mafia or mob robbing our stalls of cattle. We don't have people going to our banks and taking our money. Well, most of the time, right? Why are we so afraid? Doctors are prescribing so much medication for anxiety, fear, and depression and stress. I think the reason we're doing this message is because God wants to grab a hold of your attention. He wants to show you how to be anxiety free. How to live life to the fullest. Jesus Christ says, I have come so you may live your life to the fullest. And if you get more of Christ, if you get more of His Word, I believe that you will live that life to the fullest. Amen? In the Bible, fear is mentioned over 300 different times. Fear and anxiety is interchangeable. Don't you think God is trying to tell us something? He's trying to tell us, fear not, for I'm with you. Why are you afraid? Why are you stressing out? Why are you being anxious? What do you fear? What are you anxious about? Many of us fear safety of our loved ones. We're anxious about it. Some of us fear how we will die. What will happen after our death? I know I'm afraid of living a meaningless life. That's why I have so many projects on my hand. I'm just afraid of living. What if I live a life that don't matter? I want to live a life that matters. I want to do something. Some of us live in fear of being alone, or dying broke. I don't know what your fear is. Some of you are afraid of heights. Paper cuts. Did you know there's a fear of paper cuts? Suffocation, snakes and rodents. Some of you are afraid of fat. I know I am. Some of you are afraid of flying, darkness, bridges. Germs is a big one. Cancer, boldness, crowds, You know that some people are afraid of peanut butter getting stuck to the roof of their mouth? That's a fear. Guys, put that word on. I went to public high school, so I might not be able to read that word, but I'm going to try. Arachibutyphobia. That's a real one. There's so many phobias out there. There's doctors have given new names to different phobias. Take it off. Some of you are going to get that now. Arachibophobia. Hope not. Okay. So why are we having all these fears? Why do we have this anxiety? Anytime you love or want something deeply, you will notice fear and anxiety because you're afraid not getting them. I want to give you three things about fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety is hung up on these three things. Number one, what we really want. Some of you can say, I want love and respect. I want people to love and respect me, but I don't think they do love or respect me. That's a fear, right? I want to be married so bad, but I don't think I'm ever going to get married. So I got anxiety and fear about it, okay? I want to have children, but I don't know if I'll have any children. I want to be comfortable, but I think I'm getting sick and I'm going to be in pain and I don't want to be in pain. I want a house, but I don't think I'll ever get a house. I want a good job, but the economy is so bad, I don't think I'll ever have a good job that I'll like. I want a promotion, but I don't think I'll ever. And see, people worry about these things. I want to be loved, but nobody will ever love me. I want to graduate, but I don't know. I don't think I'll ever graduate at this pace. So, number one, what do you really want? Usually our fear and anxiety attach themselves to what we really want. Number two, what are we afraid to lose? Fear and anxiety attaches itself to what we are afraid to lose. What are you afraid to lose? And some of those things are legitimate and good things. Like, I'm afraid to lose my family. Okay? I got pregnant, but I'm afraid to... What if I lose the baby? Or, I got a baby now, but what if something bad happens? You know, anxiety and fear attaches itself to the things we really love and we care about, and sometimes to the things we trust or put a trust in. Amen? Or things like, I got a good job, but I feel like I'm going to lose it. I just so worried about it. I'm a Christian now, but what happens in 10 years? What if I... And this is pastor's fear. I love being a pastor, but what if I do something and disqualify myself? That's my fear. I've had that fear. I've been having dreams that I disqualified myself from ministry. And I'm like, oh no! What do you fear? What are you afraid to lose? I have a good savings account. But guess what? I have to check it every day online. I have to check it every day to make sure that it's still there. I have a nice house, but what if I one day won't be able to pay for it? I have good health, but what if something happens to me and I get cancer? So anxieties and fear usually attach. I have friends now, but what if I lose them tomorrow? I have a good marriage now, but what if I... Or there's another one, guys, if you've ever been in trouble. Another one is this. I'm free now, but what if I do something and they put me in jail tomorrow? Oh, no. Right? And number three, our anxieties attach themselves to the things we don't want. I don't want to be divorced. But what if something happens? And that's why many people don't get married and they stress out and are anxious about things. I don't want to get cancer. I don't want to get cancer. I don't want it. I don't want to die. I don't want to be killed. I don't. And some people stress out about these things. I don't want to be uncomfortable. But what happens if I get sick? And so anxieties attach themselves to the things we love. Do you want to not be anxious? Put God as the greatest source of your love and your trust. That's why, what did we read in verse 33? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why does God do that? Because you got to distract yourself from yourself. You got to distract yourself from your situation and focus on something bigger. That's why if you're a Christian, it's not about you. Everything is not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about reaching those who are lost. It's about giving of yourself. Uh-oh. He's going to talk about giving. Fear not. I'm not going to talk about giving. But it's all attached. A lot of our fear and anxieties are attached to our money. And that's why he says you can't serve two masters. Who do you want to fear? God or mammon? Because whoever you love, that's who your fear is going to come from. That's why the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. You want to really have a life that doesn't have anxieties, doesn't have fear? Fear the Lord. Everything else is nothing to comparison. Do you know that our fears and anxieties tell us what matters the most to us? Our fears and our anxieties speak to us. I'm afraid to lose my job. Well, my job, I put my trust in my job then. And not God. I'm afraid to lose my friend. Oh, no, no, no. I'm afraid to lose my spouse. Some of you women are afraid. You're so jealous and you, because your man became your life. And God wants to become your life. First. Not everything, but first. God wants to be first in your life. And then everything else. Then money, yes. Then job, yes. Then your family, and then things like that. Then your children. If you put your spouse above your God, God says, I'm the one jealous God, and there will be no other God. So guess what God will do? He will throw down your gods. And you don't want to put your spouse above God, so God will throw him down. Please, be merciful on your spouse. Put him below, step below your God. Right? Amen. So anxiety is attached to the things we love. To understand better anxiety, we have to identify what's opposite of it. What's opposite of anxiety? Anybody want to take a guess? This word is mentioned so many times in the Bible. What? Joy, okay. Peace, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Over 500 times in the Bible, the word peace is mentioned. I used to read apostles, and tells you how much I used to know till this week. I used to read, and like, the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. The peace, Paul writes about joy and peace be multiplied unto you. And I'm like, are you some hippie Paul into peace, you know, peace, man, peace, dude. I'm like, what is this peace that you're talking about? Bible, over 500 times, talks about peace. And when I was studying for this, Holy Spirit revealed to me that opposite of anxiety is peace, that inner peace that we all want. That's why people do drugs and abuse alcohol, because we want that inner peace. Amen? And that's why God says, peace, I want to give you more peace. I want to give you more peace. He understands that people of that time and our time are full of anxieties, full of fear. And God says, I want to give you peace. Amen? When you're anxious, you don't have any peace. When you are in fear, you don't have any peace. We need inner peace. Opposite of anxiety is peace. Opposite of fear is faith. Fear says something bad is going to happen to you. Right? What does faith says? Some good is going to happen to me. Something good is going to... You should wake up. If you're a Christian, you should wake up expecting something good to happen to you in your day. You should declare the favor of the Lord upon your day. You shouldn't wake up and say, oh, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Some bad is going to happen. I might get into a fender bender. A dog might bite me in the leg. A cat might scratch me in the face. I don't know what you're afraid of. I might be walking on the steps and I will trip and fall and I'll need a knee surgery or whatever. What is your fear? You should wake up opposite. You should wake up in faith. God says, I want you to be full of faith, not all you of little faith. Christians, come on. It's time to mature. It's time to get up and walk in faith. If you walk in faith, expecting God is going to do something great in your life, listen, He will. The other day, something very interesting happened to me. I woke up in the morning and something told me, you should confess favor of God in your life. So I did. Then I went to the courthouse and I needed to do a building permit. And I actually had one 5 years ago, seven years ago, but it expired, you know. And so I went there and they're like, well, you pay $21 for building permit. I was remodeling some basement in my basement. And but they said, because you already had a permit, right now it's like $65 for permit. But guess what? We're not going to charge you that $65. And I'm like, nice. I mean, it's not much, right? $65, but a favor. It's nice, right? Take my wife out to my kids. Kids' meals, McDonald's. Right, favor. Then next day, something weird happened. I'm telling you, this is crazy. This is crazy. Because next day, I usually don't have any cash in my wallet. Next day, I look at my wallet and I have $44. I'm like, baby, did you put $44 in there? I know she wouldn't. I know she wouldn't put $44 in my wallet. I know she wouldn't. I'm like, kids, did you like take my money and then felt guilty and put $44 back in my wallet? No. I texted some of my guys. I said, Tony, did you put $44 in my... I still don't know where that $44 came from. But 65 and 44, that's how much? Come on. Whatever it is. Right? It's a favor. It's not maybe big, but to me it is. So as many times as I can remember, I wake up and I say, favor of God in my life. I'm blessed of the Lord. Everyone who blesses me will be blessed. Everyone who curses me will be cursed. That's it. I'm blessed of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Fear and anxiety, next point, makes you a false prophet. You know what a prophet is? Prophet is the one who predicts the future. Now, 95% of what you fear will never happen. What does that make you? False prophet. Bible says if you predict something and it doesn't come to pass, you should be stoned. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to recommend that. But listen, if 95% of what you predict about your life doesn't happen, you're a false prophet. Let's say 5% does happen. Well, then it makes you the prophet of doom. But guess what? If you're going to be a prophet of doom, can you do it on somebody else? Like Osama bin Laden or something. You know, be a prophet of doom towards somebody else's life. Don't stand in the mirror and say, something bad is going to happen to you today. Oh, you're so ugly. Your hair, what's wrong with you? If you were not a guy, you would need tons of makeup. Right? Why would you want to speak that in your life? Oh, something bad is going to happen. I don't think I'll ever recover from this cough. I think this is what I'm going to die with. Especially we guys. You know, we like to exaggerate, right? I'm going to die from this cough. That's what anxiety does. That's what fear does. It makes you become a false prophet. I don't want to be a false prophet. God doesn't like false prophets. You shouldn't be either. 95% of what you worry about or fear will never come to pass. The other 5% might. If you're fearful for 10 years about getting in a car wreck, well, maybe once in 10 years you could, you know, back somebody up. Well, whoop-de-doo, now you're a real prophet. But that was going to happen anyway. And you didn't have to worry about that. Don't be a prophet of doom. Don't be a false prophet. If you're going to be prophet of doom, prophesy towards our enemies, not towards yourself. Come on. Bible says love the neighbor as yourself. Come on, at least love yourself. Right? Don't prophesy doom in your own life. Anxiety and fear is prophecy of doom in your own life. And what did I say just right here? Anxiety is your soul meditation on negativity. It's your soul, I could say, expectation of negativity. It's your soul's almost like desire. And whatever you desire comes to your life. Remember what Job says in Job chapter 3, verse 25. He says this, whatever I feared, came upon me. Now, I don't know if that happens all the time. It happened in his life. But we don't want to test it. We want to believe and say, whatever I believed came into my life. Whatever I confessed, whatever I spoke, that came into my life. That's what we want to say. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Anxiety does not let you hear God. When you are full of anxiety, you can't hear God. Maybe you are dealing with a serious problem. But because you're anxious, you can't hear the solution. God wants to give you a solution. God wants to give you a way out. But when we're anxious, we can't hear Him. Next one, anxiety makes you feel hopeless. It makes you feel like a loser, like it's the end of the world, and you're 16 years old. I'll never get married. You're 16. Shut up. Enjoy yourself. Have some friends. You don't need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Too young. Go to college. Get yourself a career. Stop wasting your life worrying about who you're going to get married to. Come on. If you're not 25, don't even think about it. Right? Anxiety makes you feel hopeless. This week I was, I'm a hypocrite. I want to tell you that. Maybe even chief of hypocrites, because I'm preaching on anxiety, but I deal with it in my own life. This Thursday, there were so many things on my plate. I was anxious, and about 2 o'clock, I was almost ready to puke. Here in the office, we had so many things to do. So guess what I did? I drove home and laid on my couch at about, from about 2:30, 3 o'clock to about 6 p.m. I just laid there. I said, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to. And my phone, my hand was like this. Grab that phone, dial that number, talk to that person. You need to talk to them. Ask them if they did that. Ask them if they got that cover. Text somebody. You know, my hand wanted to text by itself. And I said, no, sit down. Lay on a couch. That's the solution for me. When I feel anxious, I got to force myself to lay on a couch because I want to do so many things. And I get anxious. Okay? And the thing is about anxiety that you start feeling like a loser. You start feeling like God doesn't love you anymore. After 3 hours, I got up. I renewed my strength on a couch for the glory of God. And guess what? I started feeling hopeful again. I started feeling like, man, I got so many good things going in my life. I'm so blessed. I don't deserve it. See, different perspective. Just 3 hours. What you would feel in anxiety and what you would feel out of it. You're so blessed. And yet the devil made you believe that you are nothing. Don't allow him to do that in your life. Point number two, what causes anxiety? Number one is stress will cause anxiety in your life. You have too many things on your plate. When we're not led by the Spirit, we try to do everything. When we're led by the Spirit, He lets us do only things that we need to do. I know what it means to do too many things. If anybody I know, I love to load my life with projects and events. And usually, the more the better. I like to pride myself that I strive under pressure. But then, I overdo it. See, some of it is attached to the identity. That my identity is not in Christ. That I have to do so many things to prove to people that I'm okay. That I'm normal. That I'm worthy to be loved and accepted. Right? We all have these things. For others, stress comes from you're lazy. You don't do anything. And then you're stressed out. You got to do so many things, but you're not doing anything. Right? So stress causes anxiety in our life. Number two, anxiety is caused by breaking natural or spiritual law. Listen to me. Anxiety is caused by breaking natural or spiritual law. What do you mean by that? Well, let me explain to you. Natural law. If your car has a blinker out, right? Tail light or headlight out, and you choose to drive at night, guess what it's going to do? It's going to cause anxiety in you because you're going to fear that you're going to get pulled over and get a ticket. Well, imagine you haven't paid the previous ticket. Now, you're breaking natural laws. So now every time you drive... Someone's sitting home too close over here. So imagine you're driving it and then you know you have a blinker out. Now you know you have a ticket that's unpaid. Probably that ticket's been unpaid for so long that you have a warrant for your arrest. So every time you drive, guess what happens? You're anxious. So anxiety comes from breaking natural laws. All you have to do is fix the blinker and you don't have to be worried. Or you're a procrastinator, right? You break the natural law of doing things on time. So you get up and go to work and you're late. And the boss said, one more time, you're late and you're gone. So you drive in 80 miles per hour in the school zone trying to not to lose your job. And guess what? You're anxious as heck. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use that bad word like that. You're just anxious. You're just blowing from the inside. And some of us, what we do is we ignore the natural things that we could fix. And we keep breaking it and breaking it where our anxiety becomes chronic anxiety. Imagine if I have a bad headlight, blinker that's not working. I didn't pay a ticket from last time. I might have a warrant. I know I do. I just don't want to think about it. I'm so anxious. Imagine if I went to a doctor and said, Doctor, I'm just so anxious. I need some prescription, please. Listen, that would be stupid, right? And doctor will probably give you, because he wants to make some money off you, so he'll give you the prescription, and here you're taking pills now and feeling good, and your life is going to the dumps. See, some of our anxiety is caused by breaking natural laws. Stop driving fast and you won't be anxious, right? Fix the taillight. Spend some time with your kids. Stop feeling sorry about it all the time. Some of you need to clean your room, please. Because how can you even be there? You feel anxious just being there. No wonder you're going to the doctor and asking him for help. You understand? Does this make sense? You have to diagnose yourself. What is my anxiety coming from? Is it because I'm not doing something? Anxiety can also come from breaking spiritual laws. If there's sin in your life, guess what it's going to do? It's going to rob you of peace. What's absence of peace? Anxiety. God will sometimes withdraw His peace from you to let you know something is wrong. See, anxiety is not always bad if it's temporary. Maybe your business paperwork is all messed up. Maybe you haven't been paying taxes. Guess what? God will use anxiety to make you fix those things. But if you try to ignore it, your body is smarter than you think. See, I believe, and this is not what I believe, it's just, I think body has its own brain. If you try to ignore the problem with this brain, guess what? Your body has a brain of its own. And it will turn on the danger signal. Your body will turn on the danger signal. Even if you ignore, because anxiety is sometimes irrational almost. But is it? Or did we ignore something and our body is trying to tell us, hey, you're ignoring something. You need to fix something else. Now, I'm not saying that there's no medical condition that causes people, you know, to have anxiety. There is. And in those cases, you do need to see the doctor. You need to get help. But we're talking about basic human anxiousness and worry. Right? We're just talking on this level, not up here, over here. All right? Hallelujah. So, I remember 5 years ago or so, Holy Spirit, I was feeling anxious because my finances was out of whack, my taxes was out of whack, everything in my life was a mess. Right? And I was feeling so anxious and I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And what I heard Him say to me, that you need to put things in order in your life. You got a mess in your life and you can do something about it. And slowly, I hated that feeling, so I wouldn't do it actually, but because of that feeling, and I hate anxiety. We all hate anxiety, right? We want to have peace. I started putting those things in order. And thank God I did. Now I don't have to fear. I don't have to be anxious because my paperwork and my work is all good. Why should I fear? Right? I spend time with my kids and my wife. Why should I be afraid of losing my marriage? I'm a provider. Why should I be afraid, right? It's when we break those laws causes us to be anxious, right? Spiritual laws cause anxiety. When we break the Sabbath, God says, honor the Sabbath. You don't need to work 24/7. You need to take a day of rest. Again, hypocrite is talking. So, we all need a day of rest, right? Another law we break is God says to give, to be a giver. He says better to give than to receive. Okay, again, some of you are like, here goes the offering. We already collected the offering. We're not doing it again. Fear not. So some of us need to give. You know how you become, stop being anxious about money, start giving it. I know it's weird because the natural mind starts saying, you got to protect your money. You become anxious. What if something happens and you need to give it all away? You fear of losing it. That means you're putting your trust. How many of you are getting something from this? That could now already change your life. Some of you are keeping secrets, hiding things, lying, stealing. And although you can convince your brain to be deceived, your body senses danger. And that's why you're anxious. Some of you need to sit down with a friend or by yourself with God or with a pastor or with a counselor and realize, discover why you're anxious. Is it something that you need to change? Or there's other times when you have some reasonable issue that you can't do nothing about. And Bible says, with those cases, put all your care upon Him. So even if the problem is legitimate, He still doesn't want you to carry it. My child is sick. My husband is sick. My wife is sick. My mom is sick. That's a legitimate thing. But God still doesn't want you to carry the weight of it. He wants you to put it on Him. Lay all your cares upon Him because what? He cares for you. So it's either you can do something about it, then do it. If you can't do nothing about it, lay it on Him. Pass it over. Hallelujah. If there's sin in your life, then you need to remove that sin. You need to repent. You need to say, God, because anxiety could come. Absence of peace comes because sometimes God allows that. See, God uses anxiety to draw you back to Himself and maybe not so much to the doctor to get some pills. What's in your life that's not right? What do you need to put on God? What is God trying to tell you today? One thing I know He's trying to tell you. He says, I want you to live to the fullest. I want you to have a good life. I want you to have a good marriage. I want you to have a good family, good job that you enjoy. I don't want you to worry. I want you to be full of peace that surpasses all understanding, Bible says. But if we are breaking natural or spiritual laws, He will allow anxiety so we can change. Amen. Solomon says this, the righteous are as bold as a lion. When you have everything in order in your life, why should you be afraid? If you know you paid all your tickets, why should you be afraid in the morning when somebody knocks on your door? Because some of us think it's a sheriff coming to pick us up. Monday morning, pick us up and take us to jail. Well, I have everything in order. The righteous is bold as a lion. He doesn't have to fear. But if there's some shady going on in your life, well, then you need to change. Amen. So spiritual or physical, take control of it. Point number three, and this is the big one. How do we gain control over anxiety? How do we gain control over anxiety? Number one, you must admit, that's it, that you, to yourself and to God, I struggle with anxiety. And ask Him to help you. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all do from time to time. Some of us more than others. You got to ask Him to help you. Number two, ask yourself, why do you have this anxiety? Is it caused because you're not doing something that you should be doing? It may be that you need to fix that taillight. It may be that you need to pay that $100 fine that you got a long time ago. It may be that parking ticket you got in front of the church during the week that you need to pay. It's only $5, but now it's $60. Happened to me. You're going to get towed. Maybe you need to take a day off. Maybe you need to take a day off regularly. Take Sabbath off. Make it a priority. Don't have to work so hard. Maybe you need to give something away. If your anxiety is about money, you maybe need to give some of it away. There's a difference when you spend it on somebody or on yourself. Maybe you need to give it away. You know that Jesus struggled with anxiety. Huh, Son of God, perfect. He struggled with anxiety. Imagine being born knowing that at 33 you will die. Gruesome. If anybody can understand anxiety, it's Jesus. One day after communion, He goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and starts praying. And His sweat starts dripping from His forehead like blood. Blood is dripping. His capillaries were breaking, bursting because of extreme anxiety. So if anybody understands anxiety, he does. Let me read Luke. Guys, put Luke 22:41. Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw away, and he knelt down and prayed. He's saying, Father. So another thing that can help you control anxiety is prayer. He prayed because he was anxious. Listen. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus freaked out, guys. He was just his human body. Maybe his mind was able to control it. But his body, see, our body responds on its own almost to danger. Instincts. He had the same instincts that we do. And he was praying. He was sweating blood. That's what he was doing. He says, if it's possible, God, take this thing away from me. But not my will be done, but your will be done. Then the angel of the Lord appeared from heaven and strengthened him. Then being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down from the ground. If anybody knows anxiety, Jesus does. He's able to help you. He's able to understand you. He's able to comfort you. You don't have to live in it. Jesus didn't live in it. Yes, there may be moments in life like Jesus. That's traumatic moments in life that you are anxious. But even in those moments, run to God. Let Him be your comfort. Run to your friends, and sometimes they will sleep on you. Because what does the Bible says? His disciples were there, but they were sleeping. And He got up and He says, are you still sleeping? So maybe friends won't be there as much as God will be there. And He says, He sends an angel and He comforts him. God wants to come into your fear. God wants to come into your anxiety and strengthen you and give you hope and tell you, you can do this. I can give you strength. Maybe you need to confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. There's so much more I want to talk to you about anxiety, but I hope this was good enough preview. So admit to yourself, ask yourself, why do you have this anxiety? Pray and lay your cares on Him. Stop talking negative self-talk. And above all, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Distract yourself from yourself. When you seek God, you distract yourself from yourself. So many people are self-conscious. I am too. We need a distraction from ourselves. We need to stop focusing on ourselves. We need to focus on Him. That's the only way we can have that inner peace. That's the only way we can live a life to the fullest, full of joy. And anxieties might come periodically, but guess what? We will not live in them. And definitely, most of us will not need any prescription. Amen? Have you been blessed by this message?